Well, we certainly thank the Lord today for His salvation and His goodness and mercy to absolutely every one of us. And in all things and in all ways, God is good. He's good to mankind, and He's certainly good to those who love Him. So thank the Lord this morning for that. And He loved us, the songwriter said, and Romans says, before we knew Him, and before we acknowledged Him, He loved us. So we thank the Lord this morning for the merit of His love, the quality of His love, the unselfishness of His love. So many reasons why we ought to love God today. Thank the Lord for that. I'm glad today, as we look into the Word of God a little bit, the Lord is concerned about our happiness. And He's concerned about us being happy. And the Lord has made means by which we can be happy. And He's provided the way and the means in which we can go beyond what maybe might try to make us unhappy. I'm glad for that victory, and that victory over the situations that occur in our everyday life sometime. I want us to think a little bit about being happy, or daily happiness, by being God-centered, keeping our focus, and keeping our thoughts, and keeping our lives directed in Him, and our vision, if you will, and drawing from Him as our source of happiness, and being careful that we don't look in the wrong places for happiness, or place our quest for happiness in the transitory and the weak and the temporary things that we call life here today. The word happiness has different meanings, or more than one, of course. We know that happiness to people can be subjective, and happiness in this world can be for a moment or a week or two, but it's always subject to something causing it to be in an upheaval and losing that happiness. And we know there are things and events in the world and in our lives that can produce what we term as unhappiness. So happiness in terms of humanity, in terms of where we live in this earth and on this earth, happiness can be a subjective thing, and it constantly goes back one way or another. I'm glad the Lord has provided something better for us. I'm glad that God has provided an internal, if you will, happiness or joy. He's provided something for us that is not affected in its realness or its trueness or its power by the events of the world. One of the definitions that I thought was appropriate for today was happiness, the agreeable sensation which springs forth from the enjoyment of good. I'm glad today the Lord has provided many good things for us. And He's provided them for us that we can enjoy them. And they're available to everyone, from the forgiveness of sin, to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to the beauty of holiness, from the peace of an abiding comforter. On and on we can think about God our Father, God our Jesus, our Shepherd, someone that never sleeps and never slumbers, someone that affords us security and joy that the world can't. Happiness, the agreeable sensation which springs forth from the enjoyment, and I want to say this, the enjoyment of the good things that God hath provided for us. The good things that are not harmful to us, they're not detrimental to our body, our soul, our mind, our marriages, our homes. Things that God hath provided for us to enjoy, that we can be happy not only in the world to come, but we can be happy today in this less than agreeable world. Over in John, the 15th chapter and the 11th verse, Jesus Himself expressed that He was interested in our happiness. He uses the term joy and somewhat synonymous. But He said these things in John 15 and 11. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that your joy might be might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Isn't that wonderful of the Lord that He is concerned with us not having just a meager supply, but He's wanting you and me to have a full supply of the joy and the happiness of being His children. So if anything comes short, it really won't be on God's part. He's provided everything for us that pertains to life and to godliness. He's loved us with an everlasting love. He told His disciples, He said, having loved them, He loved them to the end. So we know that God is a bountiful supplier, riches in glory in Christ Jesus, and He is interested. And this morning, get a hold of this thought. God is interested in your happiness. If we could term God being made unhappy, I believe it's when one reason for that would be when you and me do not allow ourselves to be happy. And maybe you might think, well, I'm not allowing myself. Circumstances dictating it. I believe to differ with you a little bit, because I believe there can be a happiness and a joy in God regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations, that you and me can have a joy that can rise above the difficulties and the injustices of life. The Lord Himself wants our joy to be full. I thank the Lord for that, that God is interested in you and me. When the angels came to announce, or the angel came to announce the birth of Christ, there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward mankind. So today, God's thoughts to us. Sometimes people of the world, sinners, sometimes even saints, if we're not careful, forget that all of God's intentions toward us are good. Lord, help us to believe that. Help us to enter into it. Help us to accept it. That everything God concerning me, God is interested in my welfare, in my goodwill, or having the goodwill of the Lord in my life. So He said that your joy might be full. I find if I'm going to have the fullness of joy, I've got to be able to live outside of myself some way. Because there are so many things that surround me that are not joyful. I find that if I'm going to have a fullness of joy, I've got to draw from a source other than myself, my feelings, and my abilities. I've got to draw from a source greater than what the world may promise me if I buy their product, that I'll be happy or joyful. I've got to be able to draw from a well that never runs dry, a well that has all sufficiency of all things, strength and grace and all those things that will enable me to have joy or happiness when things are not going right. Over in John, the 7th chapter, He spoke about a river. And He spoke about that river not being somewhere far away, but He spoke about that river being inside the believer. John 7 and 38. John 7 and 38. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe part of the happiness that God has afforded us is to have within each one of our bosoms, or our innermost being, a possessor of the river of life. The possessor, and not only in a meager, short supply, but it's enough for you and me to consume ourselves, and yet much more left over flowing out of us. Something beyond just, I'm going to get by with this little supply of happiness or grace, if you will, or joy, if you will, and there'll be just enough for me, and I really can't share it with others. This river, this grace, this love, this peace, this joy, this happiness is to be a river flowing out of us. The Christian should be a very visible, happy person, not a giddy happiness. Not a happiness based on one's bank account or lack thereof. Not a happiness based on the health of one's body or the lack thereof. but because deep within the heart of the redeemed soul, there's a river that flows from God above, and it flows down with life-giving force and all the essentials of life, and not in just a meager supply, but in copious showers, blessed showers, showers bubbling up and running over, showers and rivers, a river that flows through us, but right on out of us too, because it's more than we can contain. I think we as Christians should be able to be joyful in every situation of life. Not praising God necessarily in the sense that, oh, I got a backache. But in spite of the backache, praise God. In spite of what's happening to me, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep me. Therefore, I'm happy. I'm not happy that I'm sick. I'm not happy that a tragedy struck. But I'm happy that there's a greater force in me that's in the world. And my reliance is not then upon what happens or what the world can console me with. And we don't want to discount the consolation of one another by any means. But my consolation is in Christ. And I'm happy in that. I draw from a water, a living well that maybe no one else can see. But I think about it. This happiness should be an overflowing of our testimony of how good God is, how gracious He's been to us. I believe happiness to a Christian, happiness is a testimony to the grace of God. And it's a very refreshing thing. And I think we as children of God should pursue that. We should never be the bearer of gloomy tidings. Sometimes we have to convey messages that are not pleasing, or they do convey a sorrowful thing. But you know, we should not as Christians have a gloomy disposition in that woe is me and woe is everyone that's going to hear my little woe. But we ought to have a thanksgiving based on a happiness that's flowing in our soul. Because God is interested in us being happy today. I'd like to ask us a question and then look at a couple of three things that I have thought the Lord gave me. Why do you think there's so much unhappiness in the world? Now, I know there can be a lot of answers to that and a lot of reasons, but the Lord gave me some thoughts that I'd like to share with you concerning happiness or the lack thereof sometimes. Did you know one of the main ingredients of being happy is contentment? One of the main ingredients of being happy is having peace in one's inner being. We can have all manner of things in this world, and things can be going somewhat well for us and still not have peace. And be ill at ease with our Creator. And be ill at ease with our Judge. And be ill at ease with the one that we're going to stand before. To me, one of the greatest lacks and wants in society of man is their lack of peace with God. I'm glad today that you and me can have a happiness based on there is really a true peace between us and the eternal God. There is truly a peace between me and my Judge. This morning, if you are striving for happiness and you don't have peace, or if you're striving for peace and you do not know the giver of peace, may I say you will come up short. You won't enjoy what is available to us. Lord, help us as Christians to show our sinner friends happiness and joy in the Lord. There should be an exuberance. I don't mean to, it has to come out of every one of us all the same. By no means. But there should be a hope that springs out of us to eternal life. There should be the taste and the savor of Christ based on our experience with Him. Over in John, the 14th chapter, Jesus knew we needed peace. Jesus knew we didn't have peace. Jesus knew it was something that only came from Him and from the Father. And listen to how gracious God in Christ was to us. 4:27. Peace I leave with you. Thank God for that. Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. This peace is unknown, the songwriter says, to the proud in heart. This peace is not based on the contentions and the strivings and the warfares of man to defeat one another or defeat a nation, but it is based on the peace that Jesus Christ has with the Father. And He said, this is the peace I bring into the world. This is the peace I'm dying to establish. This is the peace that I go back to my Father and send to you. That's the peace we can have. And without that peace, we can't be happy. Because we are ill at ease with our Creator. Adam and Eve, they were still in the garden when they sinned. They were still in the garden that afternoon or whenever it was that God came by, but they had lost their happiness. Why had they lost their happiness? Was it because the fruits were no longer there? Was it because the animals no longer abode with one another in peace? Was it because the beauty of the garden was not there? No, all of that was there. But they had abridged their relationship with their Father in heaven. They knew no peace at that time. Consequently, they lost their happiness. We must have the peace of God ruling and reigning. The peace of God that passes understanding, that goes beyond the comprehension of what man calls peace. And then we can know happiness. But trying to say, I'm happy, and knowing our God has all against us, we really can't have the happiness of knowing in whom we believe in. He said, peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Tremendous amount of fear in man, but that great God and Jesus Christ came to give us His peace. Over in Hebrews, I'd like to look at the means for a moment of God and Christ conveying that peace to us. You remember the story of Esther, don't you? Remember how she was called to go in unannounced to the king, and her life was in jeopardy, and she was somewhat ill at ease. And she called for a fast, and she called for much prayer, and she relied heavily that prayer would be heard and that the king would allow her to come in his presence. And because of that prayer and because of that fasting, the king and God allowed the king for Esther to find favor, and He extended to her His scepter. This scepter was a ensign or a signet of His power and His authority. And had He withheld that, she could have been put in prison. She could have been slain. Her life was in jeopardy. It was important that this scepter be extended to her. And it's important that Jesus Christ and the scepter of God's righteousness be extended to us. The Bible said in Hebrews, now we can come boldly to the throne of grace with a confidence. Do you know, if we have sin in our life, that destroys our peace. That causes you and me then to lose the assurance and the happiness we need in the Lord. And regardless of what we say, regardless of how we conduct ourselves, regardless of how we smile, regardless of whatever, we don't have that true joy in our heart because there's something between us and the Father. Over in Hebrews then, here's what the writer said, 1:8 of Hebrews. But unto the Son, He said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Paul writes to us that we are accepted in the Beloved. Part of our happiness is that now we have an innocency before the Father. And He has extended to us Jesus Christ. And now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord this morning that we can have happiness because we can have peace. Regardless of what happens to us in the flesh, we can have peace with God. We can know our book name is in the book of life. We can know God has no ought against us. and that we're innocent and that we're clear before God. So he has extended to us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, I won't turn there, but it said, God was in Christ. God was in Christ extending himself to mankind or reconciling us or man to him. Jesus Christ is the scepter of righteousness. Have you accepted that extended offer of mercy, of forgiveness, and peace? Or are you looking for happiness somewhere else? Is your happiness contingent on this world and how you're treated and how you feel and how much money you do or don't have? Or is your happiness based on a holy relationship with God? Christ in, within, that river of life flowing out of you. I'm thankful this morning that we didn't have to rely on a physical king somewhere, but God of heaven extended to us through Christ the scepter of righteousness. And if we'll come under that, if we'll bow to that, if we'll allow him to rule in our heart and have confidence in him, we can have peace. And as we have peace, folks, we're going to be contented. And as we're contented, we're going to be happy. We're going to be encouraging. We're going to say, praise the Lord. We're going to let others know what Jesus has done. We're going to be able to offer consolation to the downtrodden, to those who aren't saved, or to those who don't know the peace. We're going to have a message of them to them. We're going to have something to tell them, this is what the Lord did for me. And we can have a happiness that others can also have, but we can tell them about it. But it's after we have found peace with God, the absence of warfare between us and the Father. In Romans, the 5th chapter, he spoke about peace. Read that a moment. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice, we're happy, we're praising God in the hope of the glory of God. So we can have this morning peace with God, and we can have access to a grace that allows us to withstand or to stand up in a world that tries to cast us down. You know, people are cast down by the events of life. People are hurt by the events of life. And sometimes the temptations of life can cast us down to where people can't rise up again. But I'm glad this morning that we have a grace that we can stand in. There's a hope of the glory of God set before us. And that becomes our joy because we have peace with God. The warfare is over with. Oh, this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're not saved today, then you can't have peace with God. But I want to encourage you today that you find that peace with God, that warfare. Stop the war. End the war. Surrender. Be born again. Repent. Allow the Lord to forgive you. Accept His forgiveness. Have you ever been forgiven? How did you feel? Sad? I think not. How did you feel? Happy? I think so. You know, when you're forgiven, it's a weight off your shoulders. It's a guilt you don't have to carry anymore. This morning, if you're bearing a guilt, won't you give it to the Lord and let His blood wash it away? You'll be happy. You'll feel better. You'll have peace with God. And then you'll be able to enter into all the blessings. May the Lord help us today. He said this, grace wherein we stand. It's an interesting word, grace. We think of it as the unmerited favor of God, and it is that. But in the Greek, it also means this. Grace is that which affords joy. That's an interesting thought. Nothing else can afford the true happiness and joy except the grace of God. Nothing else can pay the supreme price or give a supreme blessing that will produce everlasting peace, everlasting joy. There's no other price that can be paid, but the grace of God is something that affords joy. It is that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, and loveliness. I think those are things that we all like. I think we all enjoy lovely things and sweet things. I think we all want joy. He said the grace of God affords it. Sometimes people go out and want to buy something, they can't afford it. Folks, if you're trying to be happy today without the grace of God, we can't afford it. There's too much that's against us. There's too many things greater than we are. But nothing's greater than the grace of God. And He has afforded us peace and joy. Will the Lord help us today to recognize then, without peace, we're not really going to be happy. Because we know the one we're going to stand before someday has something against us. Then we get in trouble in other ways. And we want to come to the throne of grace and say, God, help us. But we know there's a warfare between us and God. And we're not able to come boldly to the throne of grace. But if we could take care of that and then know we can come boldly and know that my sovereign has nothing against me, would not we be happy? Would not we have something then to let others know about? Happiness is a condition, too, that people have looked for. And the reason they don't have it sometimes is because they're looking for it in the wrong place. Maybe your peace today, or your happiness rather, maybe you have longed for it and you sincerely want it and you think you're trying to do the right thing. And maybe the Lord is wanting us to know that sometimes we look for our happiness in the wrong places. We look for it in convenience. We look for it in health. We look for it in money. We look for it in friends. We look for it in our home. We look for it on our job. We look for things of this world to produce something it cannot, and that's happiness. Only in little measures, only in little degrees. Over in Psalms, the 16th chapter, in the 11th verse. Think about it today. Where are you looking for your happiness? Or why are you not happy? Could it be you're looking at the weak and the beggarly elements that cannot afford it? Grace of God can afford joy this morning. Do you have that grace flowing within you? Are you looking to that grace to be your source of life and not life itself? Thou wilt show me the way of life, path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God is the source of grace this morning. God is the source of that which affords joy, that which affords happiness. And if we're looking somewhere else, I know this from my own experiences, we're going to be disappointed. And we won't really attain to it. And if we attain to what we call happiness, the next day we'll lose it. Because it's contingent on too many things that we have no control over. You remember Sunday night we talked about frustration? And I truly believe the source of frustration is you and me trying to control things we have no control over. Well, that's the way it is, trying to control all the elements around us and getting ourselves right in the right sweet spot to obtain happiness in this life. They keep moving the sweet spot, or it's not even there at all. Or that which I think will afford me happiness doesn't satisfy the longing of my soul and being justified before my Creator. But when you and me look to God, He said, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Where are we looking for today for our joy? I hope today that you're looking for your joy or your peace, your happiness from God the Father through Jesus Christ. All the springs of God has been afforded to every one of us. So if we come behind on something, whose fault is it? If God has provided everything for us, if all his springs have been opened up, if Jesus Christ has come to offer himself and gone back to the Father to send the Holy Ghost, if he said, I've come that your joy might be full, if you and me are living in less than a happy estate, whose responsibility is it? God has afforded it to us. It does not mean that circumstances are going to be happy, but I can be happy. It does not mean that every situation that I hear about on the news is going to be happy, but I can be happy. I can have peace. I can have a boldness. I can have a confidence. I can rest in the midst of a trial. Folks, that is something that we only get in a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. At thy right hand, I don't know what all that has to do here, but I think Jesus Christ went back to the Father and figuratively is at the right hand of the Father. At the right hand of the Father is the source of pleasure forevermore. Jesus Christ, our salvation. Today, let's have that joy. The Lord said, and we read this earlier, John 15:11, he said that my joy might remain in you. This morning, I want to recommend your happiness be drawing from Jesus Christ in you. He said he wanted his joy, not man's joy, not the world's peace and the happiness, but he wanted his happiness to dwell in you. I thank God for that this morning. I'd like to look at something else. Why maybe people don't have happiness. I'd like you to read with me over in Acts, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. 10 and 38 of Acts. How God appointed Jesus of Nazareth, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. The thing that we understand about Jesus on earth is that he was the goodwill of God extended to man. He was the scepter of God's righteousness. He was the reconciliation between God and man. He was the propitiation for the transgressions and the lack of peace between God and man. And everywhere Jesus Christ went, he went about, the Bible said, doing good to the sinner, to the sick, to those in sorrow, to the little children. Everywhere the Lord went, he was expressing the goodwill to man of the Father. His reproof was in goodwill, in hopes that people would turn from their ways. So everywhere Jesus Christ went about, he was thinking of you and me. He was thinking of his mission, his purpose. He was thinking of how much others needed him. He was willing to be extended out beyond measure for other people. He didn't come to this world self-centered to become a king in a literal sense on a white charger and a gold carriage. But he came as a servant. He came extending himself to fallen man. He did not come to be fed and blessed of others, but he came to bless and feed others. I want to submit to you this morning that one reason that people fail to achieve the happiness, even in Christ, that's available is that we become self-centered. And we become wanting happiness for ourselves and wanting it reaped upon us without being able to look past ourselves and see other people as better than us, esteem them more highly than we are, and extend ourselves beyond ourselves. And we keep ourselves, I'm speaking generally now, we keep ourselves bottled in, expecting happiness to be a fruit of God pouring out on me with no expression of that from me. Over in Hebrews, again, the 10th chapter, when you think about Jesus Christ, I believe he had joy, I believe he had peace, we know he did. We know that he was not a sinner. We know that him and the Father were one. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. He had a confidence there. Over in the 10th chapter, in the 7th verse of Hebrews, this is prophecy concerning Christ that the Hebrew writer writes. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus Christ came not seeking his own will, but he came to do the will of the Father. I'm thinking about you and me and our desire for happiness. Could it be sometimes that we don't have that measure of happiness we want because we're not actually doing the will of the Father, or we're not actually participating in God's work, and that we are keeping that which has been committed to us? And I don't mean just the spreading of the gospel. I mean this in a very broad-based way. Keeping it for ourselves, expecting God to shower me with happiness and me forgetting to go out to my brother or my sister and express happiness and consolation to them. Expecting to be blessed of God, but not realizing the responsibility we have to bless others. Expecting God to come help me and cheer me up, but I never feel the urge to go out and cheer someone else up. Jesus Christ came most unselfishly. And he came to give joy. He came to give his peace and his happiness to us. And he went about doing good. As Christ is, so are we in this world today. We are to be an extension and an expression of him. Our happiness is to be full. And it is to extend out in a contagious form, I believe. Jesus said in 4:34 of John, John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The very purpose of Christ, the life-sustaining force of Christ, was to do the will of God. I'm thinking about you and me today. How we are called to be ambassadors. How we are called to be an example. How we are called to reach out to those less fortunate, to the hurting, to the needy, to the sad. And I think we do ourselves a grave injustice. We do the cause of Christ a grave injustice when we sit back and sometimes have troubles ourselves and say, Lord, bless me. I'm expecting you to help me. I'm expecting you to deliver me. I'm expecting you to make me happy. And we never look around at the possibilities I have to cheer someone, to say some kind word, to help someone financially or physically or emotionally, or just to be an example. Jesus said in 6:38 of John, he came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father that sent him. You know what I believe? I believe the Bible teaches me that there's a relationship between happiness and doing what the Lord wants us to do on earth. I believe there's a relationship in happiness and obedience. I believe there is a relationship between me being happy and up about my Father's business. I believe it's a relationship about being happy and fulfilled when I am doing that which I do to the glory of God. And I believe there's a source of unhappiness and a relationship between unhappiness and me being self-centered and expecting to be blessed all the time and not being willing to be the source of the blessing. I want to submit that to us today and have us to look at ourselves, because God wants us happy. Read with me over in Philippians. I think sometimes that you and me as people, we get caught up in facts that make us happy and we get stymied there. And we stay there. And God's saying, break out of that. Look around you. There's other needs out there that's as great or greater than yours. And you're holding yourself into a capsule waiting for me to bless you, and I'm telling you to go out and let the water flow out of you. And yet, there's an unhappiness because we're containing that water. We've put a dam on the river. And my neighbor, my friend, someone in the congregation, a child, school, somewhere, needs some encouragement, a letter, a cake baker, a lawn mower, anything. They need someone to call them, and I am so caught up in myself that I fail to realize that I'm damming up the flow. I'm damming up the river by my self-centeredness and me waiting for someone to come along and bless me. Philippians 2:1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Couple of thoughts. He told us to let each esteem others better than himself. Did you know that's one of the best ways I know to break down selfishness? Is to exercise ourselves in esteeming others. Is to look upon their needs and consider their adversities. To have a sympathy toward others. Have a reaching out toward others. Not just a pity from our mind, but a pity extended and a love extended by the actions of our life. Animated. Put in motion. Telephone calls, cards, love, arms around, weeping with. Actually physically participating in the help and the support and the happiness of others. Did you know when we get self-centered, that's a very sad place to be, folks. It's a very dangerous place. God has trouble operating there because it's me, instead of God, the Father, in Jesus Christ. May we this morning, if we get stymied in this, may we see that. The fourth verse that said, look not every man on his own thing. Listen to what another translation says it correctly. To make ourselves happy or make sure we're happy. I say to us this morning, if we break out of those places, we'll be happy as a natural product of following the Lord. A natural product of being like the Lord. When we reach out beyond ourselves by the grace of God, by the power of God, in obedience to God, I truly believe God's going to bless that. I know He will. And we'll find a happiness and a peace that's unknown till we reach out beyond ourselves. That we are interested. I want to tell you about a fella that can get all my attentions, and that's myself. If I so allow it, everything about me becomes very important. And everything about you falls somewhere below that. Did you know that's not what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches just the opposite. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. We've got to be able to lose ourselves into what we think is so important and look on the needs of others, and then we'll be happy. Happiness is attainable, folks. It's something God wants for us to have. But I have, let's say this, experience has taught me something. Self-centeredness is an unhappy life. You know why? One reason, it goes back to what we said Sunday night. When you're self-centered, you're trying to make everything please you. That comes in that word we spoke about Sunday night. Frustration. Because it don't work. It does not work. You can try and you can try. You can't get enough ducks in a row to please yourself. There's always going to be some ducks jumping one way or another. Or sitting down, or swimming off the other way, flying off. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And if I'm going to try to get it all in order, now I'm happy. Frustration is the only product I know of that. It's the only one I know. We can attain to the world's successes and then we die. Or the doctor calls and says, by the way, the test confirms you have cancer. If we strive to gain happiness only through selfish interest, I believe we're going to miss it. But if we can turn our directions to going about doing good, turn our attentions to those around us, turn our attentions to the needs of others, turn ourselves away from ourself, I believe we're going to find the very spirit of Christ in that. We're going to find the purpose of Christ in that. We're going to find the mission of Christ in that. We're going to find what the Lord will bless in that. I'd encourage each one of us to do just that. Jesus Christ emptied himself, it said, made of himself no reputation. I don't know. I'm being very candid. I don't know if I've totally emptied myself yet. I want all of selfishness out of me. I confess that. I have yet to find selfishness produces anything good in me. I admit that. I have not found it. But when I can lose myself, forget myself, abandon myself and my pleasure to serving God, I find peace, I find happiness, and I find joy. Few scriptures to end with here. What's some of the answers to man's lack of unhappiness now? Talked about peace. Talked about doing the will of the Lord. Over in Matthew 13 and 44. Folks, we got to find something better than ourselves to invest in. No one has ever disappointed me the way I've disappointed myself. We've got to find something better than ourselves to invest in. 13 and 44. Again, the king of Matthew. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, that he might buy the field. I think what we need as people, as a mankind, is to be willing to sell all we have for Jesus Christ. When I sell it all, it's no longer mine and it loses its importance. As long as it's mine, I feel a necessity to protect it and defend it and promote it. But once, if this little bell here, if that was mine, I would go through those different actions concerning the little bell here. It's mine. Please don't knock my little bell off. My little bell is my bell. I don't want anybody bothering my bell. My mother handed this bell down to me or something like that. We assess a value to it. But if that bell's not mine and I give this bell to someone else, it relieves me of that responsibility. When a man has found something greater than himself, the kingdom of God, the joy of salvation, he goes and takes everything he has and sells it. Because I found a pearl of great price. I have found something better than me. I have found something greater than me. I have found something better than the happiness of the world. And for the joy, I sell everything I have. I get rid of myself I don't seek my own pleasure anymore. I seek the will of Him that sent me. My meat now is not to covet this world and what people do to me or how they treat me. My meat now is to do the will of the One who has brought joy into my life. That's my peace. That's my meat. That's my sustenance. That's what I thrive on now. And without it, I'll perish. So he took everything he had, went and sold it. He said, this is what I've been looking for. I wonder if anyone today would like to sell some things. I wonder if any of us today has not sold everything we have that we might purchase this field. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. We're talking about true happiness this morning. Folks, as we hold on to ourselves, we're going to hold on to unhappiness. But as we sell it, we're going to buy, if you will, we're going to purchase the field of happiness. Let him deny himself. This word deny in the Greek, let him forget himself. Let him lose sight of himself. Help me to see only you, Lord, the songwriter said. Then we're going to find happiness. Then we're going to find some peace. The last verse this morning is in John, the 4th chapter. The 35th verse. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say to you, unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I'd like to encourage us today in our desire for happiness, in our desire to be happy and have peace with God. I would enjoin us today, let's lift up our eyes. By all means, let's take our eyes off ourselves and what we're trying to gain in the way of happiness. Let's look around us and see opportunities, opportunities, and opportunities. Places that I can bestow the blessings of the Almighty. Places that I can go and work the work of God. Places that I can go and help the needy of God. Places where I can reach out to others to extend joy and love and peace to them and in the process find meat to my soul. Find joy and happiness to my soul. If we're looking around and waiting and saying, well, as soon as everything gets right, soon as I get joy in me, soon as I get happiness, as soon as everything gets conducive, then. But until then, I've got to get right. I've got to be happy. I've got to be satisfied. I've got to get everything just the way I want it. Folks, we will never find happiness because, first of all, we'll never attain happiness in that state. But if you and me will sell everything we have, take our meager subsistence, take our meager thoughts, our vain sometimes attitudes, and lay them at the cross. Say, Lord, I want the joy to continue. I sell everything I have. And then we get to looking around, and we'll find places not far off in some mission somewhere, right in our own backyard, right at the telephone, or right at just at our fingertips, places that we can go about doing good. And I am convinced we'll find happiness that we've never known because we're outside of ourselves. We're not placing happiness contingent on my neighbor's cat staying out of my backyard. Let the cat have it, I guess, because I've got something I want to tell and do for Jesus. And this cat is not that important. But my happiness being expressed to others, and in the sense, and at the same time, edification to me. That is important. So may the Lord help us today. Sell it all. Sell it all. Are you holding on to a piece of the field? I sold it all but the back 40. I sold it all but the barn. I sold it all but what I'm just afraid to turn loose of that. This man, for the joy that he found in Jesus Christ, he went and sold everything he had. Do you think the Lord was unfaithful to that man? I don't think so. I got a feeling that man found, I know it's a parable, but I believe that man found at that moment a joy unspeakable. Something beyond anything he had ever known. He thought salvation was great, and folks, it was. But it was so great, he sold everything. I wonder the dimensions he entered into at that point. I wonder if there's a dimension that I'm not into yet because I'm holding back part of the field. Or maybe I have not even sold the field. Think about it. Maybe there's a soaring and a dimension of happiness that we can only wish for till we come to a place that said, Lord, here's the field. I give it all to you. You pray for me. When we consider everything that God hath provided for us, I would ask us a question today. Are you happy? Then if the answer is yes, then we say, well, thank God. Praise God. If the answer is no, I'm not really happy, I would ask us to look to ourselves and ask ourselves this question. Whose fault is it? Whose responsibility is it? All things are provided for us. So let's lose ourselves, truly lose ourselves in Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's a lot of responsibility off of us trying to do things and get happiness ourselves. And let Him become the source of our happiness.